Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blues Show. This is Season 5, Episode 3. I have with me co-host Ben Luders. Ben.
Hello, everybody.
I am Donovan Beery, and we have from chiming in from what is obviously better than the 6 inches of slush and snow and ice that we have here in Omaha, Diana Valentine.
Yo, yo.
How is the weather there? Is it above 32? Because it is not here.
Well, I feel, you know, I feel a little sheepish to say it was 77 yesterday and bright sunshine, but not too sheepish to say it was 77 and sunshine. It was great.
So you are not in Omaha is what I'm hearing.
I am not in Omaha, although I probably could create my own weather if I came there.
Okay.
Very confident.
I feel very confident today. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I am going to start the show by saying I'm so sorry that I had you down for recording tomorrow. I don't know what happened, but I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry is illegal in this house.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. Let's talk about being sorry.
What's wrong with being sorry?
Well, there's nothing wrong with being sorry if you're truly apologetic for something, some wrong that you've committed. But I personally believe this culture of apology is – can we curse on the show?
Of course.
What the fuck would you ask that kind of thing for?
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. I think people are walking around feeling sorry that they're on the planet. Like there's some training, like covert sorry ninja training that happened like in school or something that was like – you know, I'm sorry for inconveniencing you by being like my best, like awesome self, you know?
I think I got a B+ in that class. It actually raised my GPA.
I enjoyed that covert ninja stuff.
I think I might have gone for the AP version at some point and didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize it until I was, you know, literally I had an epiphany at Trader Joe's, a grocery store. And I was like, I just passed 8 people who said, I'm sorry. And I don't even know what they were just standing in air doing what they needed to do, and they were sorry to be there. It was freaky. It was really freaky.
Now, Diana, we were just watching your TEDx talk where you talk about your situation at Trader Joe's. Right. And could you share with our audience, what was it that you were sorry about in the checkout line at Trader Joe's?
Oh, good gravy. I was like sorry before I even got to the grocery store, because as I drove there, I was like, all I want to do is – cuddle up under the blankets, seriously, under the blankets with my like fresh sheets, Hulu.com, and chocolate covered potato chips. And it was a premeditated crime for sure.
Tell us more about Trader Joe's. I liked your description of it on the.
Well, Ben, have you ever been there?
I've been there only one time. We just got a Trader Joe's last year, I think.
It's like 2 miles down the road. It's on the same road that the office is on. You can take off there and be there by, you know, in 5 minutes.
But why would I go there if I could just go get my groceries at Walmart, Donovan? I don't understand.
The Walmart is half the distance away, so it is closer.
Okay, there you go. That's why I go to Walmart for my shopping.
It's probably more socially acceptable to be sorry at Walmart than at Trader Joe's.
Right. I'm always feeling sorry at Walmart. I've kind of gotten numb to that, actually.
Yeah. It's more fashionable there.
Right. I love it.
Now, it's like 2 for $10. Sorry's 2 for $10.
There you go.
Now, it's Walmart. It's 2 for $9.88.
$9.88. There you go.
It's the Sam Walton pricing method. He's sorry that he actually put a zero in the end of a price once.
See, I'm not sorry that I don't know that.
Good times.
Yeah. So what's your question, Ben?
Oh, I just was wondering if you could talk more about, you know, this whole idea of, you know, why people, you know, feel sorry about things and why that's turned into a bad thing.
Well, I don't think that sorry by itself is a bad thing. I just think that when you really look up the word and when you really start to think about regretful, you know, disdainful, like there, it's a really strong word. And I think that we've truly minimized it by incorporating it into almost in every other breath. It's turned into an It's turned into a, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry. And it's like almost some people use it like hello.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you available now? What? How about hi? How are you? Like engage. It starts out with this like self-deprecating, like laying on your back with your belly to the world kind of positioning.
Sure.
And I think it's really problematic. So even if we can just raise the bar and raise the awareness on what are you actually sorry about in this moment? And either, you know, don't be lazy about your vocabulary, use some other phrase that means what you actually want to say, or truly pause for a moment and say, I'm sorry about this, and here's why, and here, you know, here's the responsibility I take. That I think that we would make the world a better place. So that's my goal.
Because it's kind of become like our default expression. I think in your talk you talked about at Trader Joe's, this elderly woman in like the cheese aisle or something like that. And her, immediately when she saw you, she just immediately said she was sorry. And you were confused about like, what?
Yeah.
What are you sorry about? You're just standing there like, we're fine. She thought she was in your way or something.
And yeah.
It's like our go-to phrase.
Yeah. And I think it's gone beyond politeness. I think it starts to point at a little bit of a social identity crisis of, you know, really being sorry to, you know, inconvenience people or sorry to take risks. I hear it a lot when people are about to say something that they feel will get judged. You know, they'll apologize beforehand. It's almost a preface like, hey, brace yourself. I'm about to say something really dicey. Like in the last, you know, about 6 months I've been, or even longer, 9 months, I've been doing this dream work called Woke Up Knowing. And for the first probably 3 or 4 months, when I described it, people ask me questions. I go to sleep. I dream about it. And I wake up and
I'm sorry here, but what is Wake Up Knowing?
WokeUpKnowing.com it's dream work. It's basically, I'm an oracle. And so I would apologize before I describe myself as an oracle, you know, because I say, well, I'm sorry to say it like this, but I guess I'm sort of an oracle. But I mean, what other framework do I have for people who receive a question from the community, go to sleep, dream about it, wake up with some wacky answer? That's an oracle. That's the definition of it, right?
I believe so.
I don't know. I haven't defined oracle in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's. I'm generally looking for supervision and not finding it because I'm usually making up a new career for myself. At least that's been my history. So it's not all that unfamiliar of a feeling to me, but it definitely feels dicey.
Right.
You know. So I think that sometimes when people are about to do something that there isn't a precedent for, or feels like it's out of the box of whatever the family tradition or the work tradition or the group of friends tradition is, it usually comes out, the story comes out with a sorry attached to it.
Got
and
it.
I think that is a travesty.
I love how you sing things. That's great. We need more singing on this show. I've been telling Donna that for months now.
That's why we brought you in. Ben actually does some vocal performances. Me, myself, my vocal range is very limited.
Yeah, right. You should see this guy rock out to Meatloaf on vinyl. All right. Donna
is
a new man.
Limited to gripe and sass talk.
That's right. That is correct. I can do that. I can handle this. And I'm not sorry about that part, right?
No.
That's right. Be proud.
All right. Well, I am sorry, but we got to cut the break. We'll be right back.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Welcome back, everybody. Diana, last time we saw you was it in Chicago? Did we see you?
Yeah, summer. It was awesome.
Man, it seems like so long ago. And it seems like no time at all that the HOW conference in Boston is coming up. And I hear you're going to be there again.
I am. I'm very excited. I'm so pleased. I'm speaking again at three of the four conferences of HOW Live, all but Dyline. Super excited.
Is that because you don't do any packaging?
That's because I don't do any packaging and I'm not a designer.
Okay.
Go figure.
That would explain why you're not at the dial-in. What are your I guess, is it three talks that you're doing, or are you doing like, you're also leading like a breakfast or something, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a talk with Jim Krause, which I'm super excited about. We're doing 30 creative ideas in 60 minutes.
Which conference is that one at?
That's at HOW.
Now,
and that's
is
on
your
Saturday.
Talk going to be 60 minutes long, or are they like messing with you and they're really only like 45 minutes and you're going to jam it in there? Speak a little faster.
If they do, we'll bring like door wedges to lock the doors and keep them in there for 60 minutes.
Now, nice. When you're saying it's 30 creative things in 60 minutes, is it things to take back that they can do in 60 minutes each, or are you just going to tell them 30 things in 60 minutes?
We're going to share 30 great ideas within a 60-minute presentation window.
Can you give us one that didn't make the cut? I'm sure you really had like 62 or 63. I don't want to give away the goods, but can you give us something that was like almost there and not quite creative enough?
put peanut butter on dog's nose and wait. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
That did not make the cut. I can see why.
That did not make the cut. Yeah. No, I mean, we have all kinds of ideas. I don't want to, you know, I haven't talked to Jim about it. I don't want to bust out a secret or anything, but they are everything
It really sounds like you don't have any of these 60 written yet or 30.
Even working on this?
No, basically Jim's doing it and I haven't heard the presentation yet. I'm just the arm candy.
Nice.
No, it's really fun. So it's everything from sort of everyday, practical, super creative based ideas. Like Jim has come up with a lot of really great ideas for designers because he's obviously been a designer for eons. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of inspirational ideas and ideas about collaboration ideas, playing with strangers' ideas. So I think it's a great blend because we have definitely very different personalities and approaches to the world. So I think it'll be really fun.
So Diana, I am very fascinated by you because you're someone who admittedly is not a designer, yet you have so much respect in the design community and obviously you're speaking at Howe. How did you make your way into this niche with designers? And why should, when I go to Boston, why should I listen to you?
Ben, I wouldn't listen to you. I mean, that's a great question. That is a great question.
Tell me, what do you offer designers and how did you make your way into that niche?
Well, thank you very much for being fascinated by me. I appreciate that. I made my way into working with designers because in my the early iterations of my business was straight on business coaching and project coaching. And because I grew up, my family are artists. My parents are both artists and creatives. And I have a lot of friends who are designers. I'm a photographer. I also write. So I tend to hang out with creative people. So as I was starting my business, right, all my clients were my friends. So I had a huge community of people who were photographers, filmmakers, writers, designers, and those are my people. So I went to a party at Peleg Top's house in 2007. I knew one person there. And Peleg Top is a designer and now an advisor to agency heads. He's really quite an interesting character and does a lot of really beautiful work. And he hosted the party. And at some point, the party went to charades. And I was like, oh, I'm not playing charades because that always ends in someone crying and stomping out the front door. I just didn't want to do it. I felt like it was like a too competitive of a thing to play with strangers. Like I know how hungry I get for charades. So there was at some point a 30 to 40 person chant of getting me to come in from the outside patio and play charades. Oh, I did. And of course, I dominated. It was an awesome time. I had a blast. And then Peleg says after, hey, do you think you might want to do a little warm-up activity at a little conference I'm hosting? And I'm thinking, 30 people in LA. And I said, sure, that sounds great. And 2 weeks later, I get a contract for the first creative freelancer conference in Chicago with 300 people. So it was great. It was really a blast. So basically, play charades, get jobs.
This is another reason we should have this as a video podcast. I want to see you do charades right now.
I know. I agree. I would be your show pony for sure.
You have to see that live. So what are the other talks you're given here? You said the one you just spoke about, the 30 ideas in 60 minutes, the 15 ideas in 45 minutes, whatever. Which conference is that one at?
That's at the Howe conference. That's the main Howe conference, and that's on Saturday, the 23rd.
Okay.
And then on Thursday and on Friday, I'm speaking Thursday for the in-house conference, and I have been for the last, I think it's 3 years, maybe it's 4 years, doing the networking breakfast for the in-house conference. And, you know, you come, you're with your team, you work at a big corporation, so you're going to tend to, like, do your networking in a very certain way. And of course, I'm anything but straight and narrow. So I get people moving and excited and sitting with new people. That's a very important element, is that that's a big part of what I do, is get you away from your boss for at least one session.
It's also very important to have someone with the energy of Diana to do this, Ben, because a morning at a conference is not necessarily where you're
– Right.
You can easily,
not feel creative.
Correct.
Right.
That's really cool. You said you're making the networking breakfast. Is that right? For 3,000 people? Is that
yeah.
That's you know, exciting.
I'm a secret chef, and I'm going to do like a 400 plate breakfast. No problem.
Should we place our orders for special requests now?
Oh, no.
Can we send people directly to DianaValentine.com in order to, you know, put in the order that they want? Or
exactly.
Kind of omelet or?
Subscribe and order. But Donovan, I already have an idea of a special breakfast just for you, so you don't even have to put an order.
I will probably miss it because I don't know if I'm going to hit any of these breakfasts.
I'll wake you up. I'll knock on your door. No problem.
Great. Nice. Thanks.
So then Friday I'm doing the third year in a row I'm doing Pitch Perfect. And I switched. I did Pitch Perfect at Creative Freelancer, then Pitch Perfect at How, and now I'm back at Creative Freelancer, and we're going to rock our pitches on Friday. So nice. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, look for me.
And for all of you guys can check when you were on the show last, we spoke about Pitch Perfect. Great event. It actually is a very helpful thing. We actually learned a lot from it.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And it's changed in the 2 years since we talked about it. I guess we talked about it a little bit last year, too. But, yeah, it keeps changing. So it's gotten even better.
Is that because it changes because you learn more, or because technology changes, or the way that we should pitch businesses changes? What's the big change, reason for the change?
I think the changes happen because every year I deliver Pitch Perfect to, so far on average, between 800 to 1,500 people. And I get a lot of feedback on the workshop. I also get a lot more exposure to doing this hand to hand with, I do group workshops and I work with a lot of individual creatives on their pitches, and the needs, I'm able to serve people's needs better the more I do it. So I would say that if I started out Pitch Perfect really as a novice, because I was creating it if you remember, I was creating it as a tool for myself to be able to talk my way out of a paper bag. And then it extended to my small group of clients, and then I did several workshops, and then it got bigger and bigger, and now it's a digital product where tons and tons of people are using it. They're sending me their before and after pitches. They're sending me tweaks, like if in this section we had just had an opportunity to hear more examples and things like that. So I think it's just become a much more robust workshop, and I feel like I'm maybe in the, you know, novice intermediate area of it now, and it's just going to keep getting better.
Are you still giving away like a free worksheet to kind of give people a taste of kind of what it is that it's about, like you were before?
Yeah, if you sign up, if you subscribe to my website, you can get that worksheet. And even, you know, I feel a little bit like I don't like to conscript people and make them do something to get a free worksheet. So if you want to just email me and ask me for the worksheet, info@DianaValentine.com, I would be totally pleased to give it to you without having to subscribe and then like a week later unsubscribe.
Right.
Let me save you some clicks. But only, you know, but subscribing is a good thing too.
Nice.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what we're going to call the 36-point Valentine note. Oh, by the way, it's Valentine's Day when we're launching the show, so it's very appropriate.
Oh, yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, we're launching this on Valentine's Day because of your name.
Yeah.
Ask ahead of time, like, is it something you were teased about a lot?
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you know, I mean, kids are mean, adults are mean, we're even meaner.
Kids are meaner than adults.
Well, you know, it wasn't so much about getting teased. It was just a note. Oh, that is the same name as that. It was never anything mean at all. And in fact, it was really fun having my name as a younger person, because I would do things like, you know, I'd order a pizza on Valentine's Day or something. Someone would say, "That's not your name." And I'd say, "It is my name. And if I can prove it, will you give me my pizza for free?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, I'll give you pizza for free on every Valentine's Day if that's your name." And I'm like, bam. And I had free pizza for like 3 Valentine's days. It was awesome.
Guess who's drinking for free tonight, Ben?
Yeah, you totally want to hang out with me on Valentine's Day. But yeah, no, I didn't really get teased for that. I got teased for lots of other things, but not my name. Yeah. Mostly people were like, "Is that your real name?" And here in LA, there are people who are simply not convinced that Diana Valentine is my real name because it's the perfect stage name. So I have to be.
I forget. You live in an area where a lot of people don't go by their.
They have fake names.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Not in Omaha. These are all right. our birth names. So.
Right.
So it is your real name, though. That's not a stage name.
It is my given name on my birth certificate.
Fantastic. Excellent. I like it.
I want to see the birth certificate.
don't be giving us none of this short form stuff either.
That's right. I'm a Republican. I need to see your birth certificate before we can do anything.
I think our call is over now. No, just kidding. Now I'd be happy to prove my identity.
No, it's fine.
All right. Well, what we wanted to talk about was you're gonna come back throughout the season somewhat regularly, and you're gonna we've been kind of discussing giving like inspirational notes or something. Mm-hmm. We're going to call them like the your 36-point Valentine notes.
There we go. That sounds
good. I like it.
So when you're ready to give these, when you guys start hearing later on the season, Diana chiming in, giving you Valentine notes throughout the year, this is what it's about. We don't know what they're going to be yet.
Right.
But
hopefully not like mushy
in.
Love letters or anything. I mean, it sounds like it could be that, but...
Oh, come on, Ben.
Inspirational design... kinds of things.
Ben and that, I are married.
Ben sounded like a personal request wrapped in like sarcasm.
I think you're reading into this, Diana.
I'm going to have to give you a love letter.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Not on the air, please.
Yeah. So are you ready for some?
Yeah. Well, if you want to give the first one now and then we only want to air one at a time.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. I want to come back. I want to do more. Okay. I will give you one right now. Brace yourself.
I'm braced.
Fine. Anyway. You are going to survive this. You are going to make it through this. That oogie, sticky, spiky wall bullshit that you have going on, it might be with a person, it might be with a job, it might be with a client. Whatever this crap is, you are going to survive it. You're going to come out with your nostrils above water. It's going to be okay because you have overcome all kinds of crap. You're going to make it through it. You're going to make it through. You will survive.
That's actually pretty good.
That's really good.
It's a little long to go on like a Valentine note that you'd give it like a, you know, to a,
right.
like a, when you hand out them at grade school. It's a little long to be printed there, but audio is different, so we'll go with it.
I like
mine. My Valentines were always a little wordy, Donovan.
Okay.
I like the usage of the word nostrils in that. That was really
yes.
good.
Yes.
Love it.
Got to work in the orifice whenever you can.
Always good advice.
But bum.
Did we ever remember what this creative bubble was?
Yeah, creative bubble. Love the creative bubble. Jonathan Mead and I, he's from Illuminated Mind, we did this really awesome video called The Creative Bubble. And we talked about what happens if you just, you know, a lot of times people are telling designers like, get out more, you're in your cubicle too much, or you're at home by yourself in pajamas too much or whatever. I am of another mind that says, if you're going to be in a bubble, if you're going to isolate yourself, then find some tools to deal with that. So one of them, I'll just give you an idea of one, is no clock, no talk. I have this idea that if you just for short periods of time, you turn all your crap off and you just sit in the silence for a bit. Like I do it when I do it without music. I do it without computer, without phone. I turn everything off.
Do you turn
and I just,
the lights too? Or are you
lights it seems like during the day I use sunlight.
Oh, okay.
I use sunlight. And so it's amazing what the silence can tell you. So that's one of them, for example. Tools for the creative bubble.
Diana, we really want to thank you for your time.
My total pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's always great talking to you. Very inspirational. And we will see you in Boston in June at the HAL conference. So,
yeah. Looking forward to that breakfast.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of exactly what I want. I mean,
I told you I have your special menu already planned.
She's got it all
okay,
planned.
Okay.
I think it's going to have something with extra garlic in it.
Oh, you remembered that I do not like the garlic.
I love the garlic. I'll just have Donovan's. That's fine.
Great. I'm going to be hungry all day.
You'll go with nothing and like it.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. For more information, 36point.com.